3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. As you can tell, today Nani is not here, but it's not because she doesn't want to. She is just on an early hiatus because she is on finals for law school. So please, please send her all the best thoughts, all the good luck, all the positive energy, even though she doesn't need it because she always kills those exams. But until then, she will, you know, be doing her thing, studying until she kills it, and then she'll be back. But until then, you gotta deal with me. Today, though, we have a very special treat for everybody. As you know, last week, we were very hyped on May the 4th, Star Wars Day for Young Jedi Adventures, but particularly Star Wars Visions Volume 2. And for those of you who were listening last week, we were very incredibly lucky to be able to interview James Wah, Jackie Lopez, and Josh Rimes, the executive producers of Visions Volume 2 and Volume 1, which was incredible. If you couldn't tell from last week, and if you can't tell from my energy today, we are very, very, very hyped with Volume 2 of Visions. It is absolutely phenomenal, and today is no different. We have an incredible thing to share with you guys. But before we do that, we need to do some calls to action. If you haven't done already, please make sure to share, like, subscribe, follow the channel, subscribe to the channel. Like, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. If you're on all the platforms, make sure to share it, leave a like. It really helps the channel a lot. And don't forget to, you know, leave a comment for, if you disagree or agree with anything that we're saying or have suggestions about what you want to hear in future episodes. Please make sure to do that. But without further ado, let's keep going because you don't want to hear that. You want to hear what we have to say about this episode. If you didn't know from the thumbnail, it's an interview. We were very, 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 very lucky to be able to participate in a roundtable interview with Rodrigo Blas, the director of the first short of Volume 2, Sith. And what an incredible interview this was. I mean, definitely wasn't expecting to talk to him, and it was really great to like be in this environment with other content creators that are pretty incredible creators and friends, because we met them through other events and Star Wars Celebration. Among them, the Sky Talkers, Brandon from Talking Bay 94, Lacey from Resistance Broadcast, Nikki Kumar from the Boys of 1309, doing a great job representing Octo Radio, Mark Newbold from Fanthatrax, Brian Young from Full of Sith. So pretty cool and eclectic group there, asking very cool and diverse questions as well. Anyone who was listening to the panel from Star Wars Celebration knows that like Rodrigo's short was, you know, one of the most colorful, that had to do with like painting and the dark side and the light side and the struggles within father-daughter relationships. If you haven't, make sure to go back to the StarWars.com or Star Wars YouTube channel so that you can listen to that, because there's some really cool insight to what Rodrigo had to say about that short. But, you know, you don't want to hear me talking about it. You want to hear him. So without further ado, here's the interview.
Okay. Who's first?
Okay. Well, I'm Leo Gustavo from Drive the Force. Such a pleasure to meet you. And thank you so much for this beautifully animated short. We loved it.
Thank you.
My question has to do with culture and representation. Down in Star Wars Celebration in London, at the press conference, you have mentioned how Pablo Picasso and John Miro were like inspirations for like the art style. And looking at the short, also we saw like the lightsaber designs were clearly inspired by traditional Spanish rapier built designs. So like my question has to do with all of that. Like, how did all of these pieces come together for the short? How did they inspire the story? And like, what other aspects of Spanish culture did you pull from to create this story?
So the way I approach the again, and thank you for the compliments for sure. I'm very, very curious about the, you know, the response on the short. But the way I approached this story was not so much from a cultural point of view, but almost like, you know, a personal. I felt like, okay, you know, I grew up in Spain, so just by, you know, thinking of stories and trying to make that, you know, something that can be universal or can be understood all around the world and be part of Star Wars, but in that will be, you know, culture will probably come out. What is great is, again, the team that I had was, you know, is the leadership is from Spain, right? So, you know, when we were getting these kind of references, they will pick it up very fast. I'm very fascinated. Our studio, we just opened a couple of years ago for the short, and we actually are very close to, you know, the center of Madrid, where you can actually walk, almost like do a 5-minute walk and go from the Prado to the Reina Sofia. And you kind of see the history of art in front of your eyes in a walk, in a couple hours, right? You go from a very figurative, you know, art form like Velázquez and Goya to a very, you know, liberating Picasso, and just seeing that, almost like, you know, I was thinking, you know, okay, I get a chance to do this. I have a blank canvas. That is kind of what Lucasfilm offered, in a, you know, an amazing way, right? So I was like, okay, I'd love to connect part of that force through art to that kind of inspiration that happened, especially, you know, in the 20th century, and how, you know, we're very close, almost inspiration to Demoiselle d'Avignon, the famous Picasso painting, and how was one of the pioneers of abstract painting. So really, you know, being able to graphically, pictorically push visuals and animation was, again, and at the same time, be respectful of the mythology of Star Wars, but be bold, right? There was a lot of, like, connection there. So that's really one of the sources of inspiration. And of course, in the way you're like, when you're thinking of an hangar where, like, Lola lives, well, you're looking at the rooftops of, you know, some of the cities in the center of Spain. When you're looking at the hilt, you go through the history of, you know, Spain and swordsmanship. So those are things that kind of like started to come naturally into the narrative.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Charlotte from Skytalkers. It's so great to talk with you today. I really enjoyed the short.
Thank you.
The drone E2 is such a great addition to the Star Wars droid family. How did his design come about?
So, you know, I come from, my background is a character animator. So one of the first thing I wanted to really desire when I got the call to make this short was, okay, you know, you had that kind of bucket list of things you want to design. The droid came with this idea that usually, you know, I kind of remember moments, right? And I always remember R2-D2, and when he was excited, he will do this kind of move where he just kind of almost jump, right? And it's so specific to make, you know, him emotional and actually transmit an emotion through that movement. So part of, you know, creating the design was like, okay, let's try to, you know, avoid rolling. So let's get him like this kind of spider-like little leg so we can actually create, you know, very, you know, simple head tilts. I think the audience, part of the, you know, and this is the idea throughout the whole short, is like, I wanted the audience to fill the gaps, like, you know, to connect the dots themselves and not give them all the answers, just have them in a journey of discovery. And the droid is we looked a lot at little dogs, almost like, you know, at puppies, and try to figure out, you know, these almost like, or also border collies. I always talk to the animators about, let's look at border collies and dogs that actually have this kind of shepherd feel, because the droid is there to kind of, you know, almost like protect, you know, it feels like very specific about protecting Lola and, like, you know, being aware of, like, watch out. So those, creating that relationship through design but also through movement was super important, right?
Hi, Brandon from Talkie Radio 94. Yeah. You mentioned filling in the gaps. And with these archetypal characters, it's very interesting to see them being placed in their story. Did you and your team discuss their backstories internally while you were building these characters? And how did that inform who they were on the screen?
That, that has been something that I've been thinking the last couple of years, even when I was writing the script, was this is almost like, and you've seen the short, like it's a moment in time, it's a culmination of a journey to two characters, right? It's a face-off, right? So for me, you know, every line of dialogue, I wanted to imbue it with backstory, right? It's almost like everything there has to connect to a moment that these characters have lived through, because again, there is a dramatic learning experience in the way that I'm thinking about, you know, the Sith Order, right, and how rigorous that education needs to be. You know, it actually mimics, and that's I think part of the appeal of the Star Wars mythology, that it mimics some of the, you know, learning of history. And I think it was the way that it was connected and how we connect to it, because we see some similarities to you know, kind of history, right? So part of that, you know, was always thinking like that must have been a dramatic escape or a dramatic breakup. So again, I started, you know, your ramble and you start, you know, taking and thinking of unraveling and wrapping the story, and that kind of like many of those choices and dialogue and moments come from that, from probably other encounters, and even from growing up, learning about the Sith and having to choose a different path, right?
Hi, Lacey from the Resistance Broadcast. It's an honor to speak to you. This was one of my favorite ones.
Oh, thank you.
Really cool. So there's so many shots throughout the story that kind of just stick with you even after the episode's over. For me, it's the shot of the Sith Master dragging the lightsaber down the hallway. It's just so beautiful. Are there any moments or shots that are your favorites?
I have a very specific moment, and in animation, especially in CG, you know, there's a great team behind it, and many hands touch a shot, right? So that's one. There's one that actually I was there trying to connect the camera. It's the shot where is a shot of realization of Lola, right? From when she realized that, you know, darkness is part of the picture. This camera that is on her looks down. The camera, you know, kind of tilts down, and then we see kind of the force, kind of the dark force in a way, and her controlling it through the arm, and then, you know, seeing the darkness expanding on the floor, and then lifting those dark bubbles of, you know, of painting that we've seen before that she cannot control so much into like now fully realized. So we did a lot of back and forth. We changed the lighting from the beginning of her to afterwards to see that kind of resolution, enlightenment coming up. So moments like that are great. And then I have one more, that is when the little droid discovers a little flower that is growing. You know, it's one of these where like you're very, very specific, very special moment when she, you know, we kind of use the droid to actually change, again, just witness, you know, this kind of creation on painting, right?
Hi, Rodrigo. I'm Nikki from Octo Radio. First of all, I just want to echo everyone else and say, you know, the short is amazing.
Oh, thank
you. Speaks so beautifully to a lot of the great Star Wars themes. But I wanted to ask you, because I'm curious about some of your previous work, Trollhunters originally began development, I think, as a feature film, and then eventually lived with great acclaim on Netflix as an animated series, which I'm sure opened up all sorts of new storytelling avenues and different opportunities that you weren't expecting at the beginning.
Sure.
But I was wondering if you feel like Visions as a sort of project benefits artistically by being a series of shorts on a streaming platform, or do you feel like any of these, you know, any episode from, you know, volume one, volume two, could be just as effective as a feature film? And then I guess by extension, like, what do you feel like is possible for Star Wars in an animated realm?
That's a great question. I think, I really love how Star Wars Vision came together, right? And what the Lucasfilm team is kind of doing with it, right? It's actually, you know, making it a safe space in a way that let, you know, creators bring this different point of view, a prism almost like of what that Star Wars mythology that has been a long time with us, right? And how you can use that to bring different stories. I think that's, I think it's part of the richness of the mythology and what it actually lets the creators do in a way, right? And write is part of what I think is again, very specific to that, right? I do, again, I think, you know, there, you know, because, and I can tell you about my journey, not about some of the, and I'm very excited about the other creators and what are they creating with different mediums too, like, you know, how also Visions is not narratively giving something new and actually letting, creating that sandbox to play, but also actually experiment visually in animation, right? So I think that is not something that is, it's hard to see, right, in studios that, you know, I have to really, you know, kind of place a bet on an animation show. This is, that's what is great is like, you know, you're getting this, you know, excitement of, okay, let's use actually this, you know, anthology just to push different boundaries, right? For me was, okay, let's, again, I, in the way that I was thinking of Sith, you know, it can be, it live in a Star Wars world, right? I was thinking more prequels in a way, like far away, that kind of medieval time that they talk about. But I always thought like, you know, there's, you know, if, you know, that those kind of moments could, you know, could be part of the source of this, right? Of this show, of these characters. But I want to think that way, right? I think, you know, that's the way that probably someone else did more of a contained story. But again, that's what mythology, you know, well thought out and visually simple mythology does. It actually, it lays the groundwork for you to create structure like, you know, the classic mythologies that we still create stories from, right? And in you know, in our world, right?
I, if it wasn't so visually striking, I probably wouldn't ask this question, but did the visuals inspire the story, or did the story inspire the visuals? Because the visuals and the way they're used just seem so important in the broader story of the shorts.
Sure, I think for me it was a whole, right? I wanted to create a piece that, you know, you had that reaction. It's like, where does this come from? Mostly because I do like when all, you know, and again, I love that kind of one that happened in cinema, is when everything clicks. Because, you know, again, short film, film, TV, it's a medium that actually is an, almost like a unity of different approaches, different mediums, right? So I really like when everything is used and every frame is supercharged with all of those things, right? The inspiration for the short kind of came from a couple of places. One, a little longer and have a little bit more of a longer gestation. That was my, you know, myself wanting to play with a blank canvas and trying to bring color and bring these kind of, you know, these connecting the dots through painting and finding, you know, strong color palettes that actually visually you can stop the frame and actually it feels like an illustration, but in motion it feels like animation. One of these things where you cannot quite grasp, you know, how it was done. And then narratively, the character of Lola came from, you know, I've told that story before, but, you know, the idea of una mirada is called in Spanish. That is, it's a hard one to translate. It's like, you know, a look or a gaze, or it's something that, you know, my daughter, you know, it was a little small moment that could have been, you know, imperceptible, but during the pandemic, she wanted to get out of the house with flip-flops, one of the first time we were leaving, and I'm kind of the typical dad is like, no, we're going to get shoes, and all these type of things that you've thought in your mind. And then my daughter looked at me with different eyes that I've seen her before, you know, when she was 10, and I realized that moment, like, you know, there was wisdom on that look. There was a, you know, almost like defy, there was so many things in that look that is like, you know, it kind of switched my point of view of like how I saw her at that moment, and I realized, wow, okay, I'm, you know, this is actually a different thing of what I've been experiencing before about, you know, shepherding, you know, your daughter or whatever, how you want to educate, right? So that actually was, again, a very strong, visceral moment that I wanted to, you know, make, you know, Lola part of it. In the short, it has happened before the short, but it is, but it's still that kind of, you know, wanting to defy that, you know, and create her own path and, you know, journey is part of that story too, right?
Hey, this is Brian Young with Full of Sin. I wanted to ask about the theme of the story. It makes a very strong statement, especially in a world where it seems like art is sort of valued less and less. You came out swinging with a really strong statement about how art is a path to finding the light in someone. And I'm wondering if you could just speak to that and where that came from and why you felt Star Wars was the place to do that, because I haven't seen something like this before.
That probably comes from my, you know, again, I've been in the industry for a while and I've been in development for a long time. So I, you know, you get trained to get rejected, right? That's actually what, you know, if you want to make these kind of projects, you have to train yourself to be in that place. And you get a lot of comments, and there was one exec that told me very dismissively, it was like, oh, you want to do art, in a long time ago, right? And that kind of always stayed with me, and I realized, well, this maybe is the great opportunity, because they, you know, they give you a blank canvas, and maybe that's actually where you can actually connect both. But you know, it's interesting, right? These days, it's a, you know, we live in definitely challenging times, because it's hard to value or to put a value on something, right? It's hard to understand what is the value of something, right? And I still believe, like, you know, if it really hits your core emotionally, if there's a beauty to it, if there's, you know, a craft that, you know, a team has put into it, I really value those things, right? And I still think that is, like, you know, one of the highest values we can, you know, bring to a medium like animation. So that's always been very simple, my approach, and I kind of like, this was the perfect opportunity to use, okay, you know, Star Wars visions and actually bring, again, a different point of view, but always aiming to create, you know, visual value, visual protein, right, into it.
So a question that I really had that was really interesting for me, looking not just at your short, but like all of the shorts, visions, is the treatment of the Sith. Traditionally in Star Wars, like the Sith are viewed as a binary of evil versus the Jedi, which are good. But Visions, especially Season 2, Volume 2, has given us a more nuanced approach of like what the dark side is and what the Sith is. And this short is very emblematic of that, especially with how the use of color and art to show like all this journey. So can you expand on that a little bit, like what your views on the Sith and the dark side is in reference to the character's journey in this episode?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, that's where the best, you know, villains or dark side, not to just simplify it, but those, the best characters that come out of that kind of dark side is when they have these kind of dichotomies, right? These kind of, you know, almost like a, there's ideas that you can connect to, but at the same time, you know that they are, you know, they're not, you know, done from the right place, right? For me, I call it like, you know, more than shade of gray. In our short, we wanted to do shade of color, right? You know, I don't think is a, you know, it's a duality. There's, you know, one of the things that I like concept-wise in terms of, you know, my life, and I tried to add it to the short, was this idea that you can live many lives in one life, right? And you can make choices that, you know, confront you and not easy, but actually they will put you in a place where like you'll discover other things and meet other cool people, right? And I think part of this is what Lola does in the short, right? Is actually she wanted to find, you know, a different, she made a choice, right? A choice that has big consequences, right? Whatever you are, that, you know, that is a statement, and is, you know, a statement on her side of disobedience, right? And trying to, you know, move away from that Sith order, right? So I think Again, the audiences are becoming way more aware of these things. They actually are looking to understand that, because I do think we're going into a world where we're going to need to have these tools to understand what's coming. Because it's like, you know, it's very, you know, these kind of, you know, choices or what is good, evil are very blurred these days. And actually, we need to get into nuanced storytelling to understand, again, what is valuable, what is, like, you know, what is, you know, what is that journey that you have to, and the choices you have to make.
Okay.
Hi, thanks so much. I have a question about how do you think Lola's story continues after the short, and if you have an inkling about where it heads?
Ooh, that's hard, because I only think a backstory. So I, you know, but again, as a statement, and this is probably a spoiler, right? But it's this idea that, again, she was able to change the small home where she lived, right? And make it look, or make it, you know, a place that is kind of very gritty and is hospital, like you can actually, you know, very rugged place into almost like a nice cocoon. And then at the end of the short, she actually is able to change almost planets, right? So again, that is kind of a big statement. It's hard to think farther down the line, but I like to this line that she says, like, you know, a more welcoming home, right? And I think that is what I think, you know, it's part of what you have to find in life, right? It's like, you know, just, hey, if you're not liked in a place, maybe it's time to find a more welcoming place, and you know, someone that. I think, you know, it's kind of connected to the making of the short too, like, you know, coming to Spain, to Madrid, creating El Guiri Studios and to make the short, you know, I've kind of, you know, had a good team that I worked before, but there was another new talent and skills that actually came with those new people that actually really gave something special to this. So it's a great, you know, that's what is a great journey. And I always think of the experiences of these projects as, you know, not only the project itself and when it comes out, but the experience that you go through making it, because you meet pretty interesting and amazing artists on the path, right?
Okay, I just wanted to specifically ask you about, to cover again sort of the Sith Master's Hilt, because I think it was really influenced by Alcide's
Sedona,
I think. I was just wondering where the design process decided to go there, and why specifically that sword.
So that there's actually a lot of, like, inspiration to those designs. I wanted to, again, there's a big history of sword making in Spain, right? And I wanted to, and again, there, you know, I wanted to connect that to, I think, how Star Wars movie art crafts and Star Wars in general, you know, the artistry that is behind it, and is very nuanced, is very delicate. Like, you know, everything is designed in a way that is, you know, functional, but at the same time, there's a beauty to it. It feels used. So, you know, I wanted to imbue that design with history in Sith, right? And the two things that are, you know, the hilts are, you know, different almost styles of sword swordsmanship, right? It's like, you know, one is more medieval swashbuckle, right? That's kind of the master, and that's actually the medieval, you know, Tithona, right? The sword of Alcide. And then there's another one that was more of a rapier feel, but again, instead of, like, making a rapier, I wanted to, you know, imbue it with influences of what, again, George Lucas, probably some of the influences of the movies that are, you know, Kurosawa movies and samurai movies, right? And that katana. So there's, you know, there's different places I wanted to, you know, it felt like right visually, but yeah, those hilts were, you know, very specific at how, where those come from. So great.
Okay, we now have time for more. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, everyone. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
How amazing was that interview? I know we were very, very lucky to be able to go twice and ask a couple of questions. We do have to apologize. I don't know if you noticed, but the audio for for us asking the questions wasn't the best quality, and that wasn't our fault. It was a Zoom thing of like how the file was given to us. So I'm not an audio engineer, so I did the best I could trying to clean up our side of it, probably blown out in some areas, but hopefully you were able to get as much as possible from the questions to understand the context from which the answers were given. But you know, that notwithstanding, hopefully the interview was enlightening and you got to learn a little bit something extra from what the short was. It's definitely one of our favorite shorts and one that we will be revisiting over and over again. But tell us what you thought. Ultimately, you know what we think. We've been saying it for 2 weeks now, so we want to hear what you have to say. Leave a comment down below here if you're on YouTube. If you're on Apple Podcasts, then head on over to Twitter and send us a message, a comment on our post, and give us your thoughts. If you're on Instagram, leave a comment there. We definitely want to know what you guys think. But with that, like I said, wish Nanny some luck. She's in those tests. She's going to kill him, but, some positive energy never, it goes a long way. So please send her some good vibes. But yeah, we have been Triad of the Force, like I said before. If you don't, please make sure to follow us here on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Hive, anywhere where podcasts can be found. You can find us there. If you're on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. Hit that bell for notifications. Like I said, leave us a comment. And if you really like the channel, we have a TeePublic, so make sure to check that store. And get a t-shirt if you like it. If you have some ideas for t-shirts, make sure to give them. And who knows, maybe we'll make a new design just for you. But with that, we have been Triad of the Force. Thank you so much. And may the Force be with you.